Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome into the Fan Morning Show pre-show for this wonderful Wednesday. Colin Dunlap alongside Chris Mack. Producer Matt, he's in his spot. Jim Colony, he's flying around getting the updates ready for this midweek show. Good morning to you, Chris. How was everything?
It's excellent. How were the Jonas Brothers
last
night?
They were so good.
Yeah? Did you sing along to all the songs?
Yeah, a bunch of them. We had a good time.
Nice.
There was a lot to be taken from that. I mean, a whole lot to be taken from that. The first thing, and I just put two and two together after looking some things up. So there were two opening acts.
Okay.
Bebe Rexha was one of them.
I've heard of her.
She wrote that Monster song, which was huge for...
Monster.
Yeah, for one of the... I'm in love with the monster.
Oh, Rihanna.
Yes, which is like a gigantic song.
Yeah, Rihanna and Eminem.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's big.
That's real big, yeah.
And so, but she's pretty good.
She could cash out on that alone.
Absolutely. So she was one of the opening acts.
Okay.
But before that, let me make sure I have his name right.
Okay.
Okay. His first name. Okay. Before that was a guy named Jordan McGraw. Okay.
Related to Tim?
No.
Okay.
Son of Dr. Phil.
No. No.
I had no idea till right now. So he comes out. First things first, though. The very first thing, he plays his first song. He was like, yeah, Pittsburgh's crazy. My good friend Christo, he was right. He lives in Pittsburgh. It's nuts. And I know him. It's Christo Ganner, the former Penn State quarterback who works for the Pirates, I'm friendly with, and he's buddies with the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
So I text Chris. I'm like, you're getting blown up by a guy on stage. The show hasn't even started. My gosh, you're ridiculous. He was like, yeah, I know. He's a really good dude. So anyway, so I'm like, this guy, he's okay, this Jordan McGraw. So this morning, because I looked up as my wife was driving home last night, I rode shotgun because she likes to drive places. So I'm looking up and I'm reading about Bebe Rexha because I already kind of knew about the Jonas Brothers. So I'm reading about her. She's from New York City and whatever. She kind of like fascinated me. She put on a big stage show, you know, for an opening act. So this morning I got in here. I'm like, I was listening to producer Matt. I'm like, I want to find out about this other opening act guy. I look it up. Jordan McGraw, Dr. Phil's son.
Man.
But here's the kicker that I thought of. He was close enough. It was Pittsburgh. He should have had a Slippery Rock t-shirt.
Yes.
And he would have lit the... I mean, it
or at least made a reference, you know?
Yes!
Hey, my dad may not be a big fan of this place, but I love The Rock.
So that was in order. It was that McGraw guy, Jordan McGraw, then Bebe Rexha, then the Jonas Brothers. And it's a concert, but it's not like... It's theatrics. It feels more Broadway than it does hard music.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, like the screen. I'd love to know what they need. Okay, they have their own plane, right? It has the Jonas Brothers on. It's parked at FBO and whatever, you know, like they're out there. I'd love, and tickets are what a concert ticket costs, you know, $100 or whatever. I'd love to know, though, what the margin is. Like, it has to be an insane amount of money to stage that show. The screen.
But they make more money on touring than they do on record sales, I've been told. And that's not just the Jonas Brothers. That's any live act. Any musical act.
I was trying the whole way home in my head, and I'm terrible at math, but you could still ballpark it, to try to figure out what the gap is. I mean... You figure, I don't know how many people were there, because the back of it isn't open, but it's still...
So let's say 12,000, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking like 14.
Okay.
You know? So say like 12,000, 14,000, and then each person's paying $100.
Okay, well, real quick, you're up in the $1.5 million range.
Plus merch. They're charging $40 for a baseball hat. They're charging, you know,
$50 for a t-shirt.
Yeah. So bang, there you are again. So split that in half and then split it in half again because not everybody's buying stuff, but maybe a quarter of the people are. Maybe a sixth of the people are buying something. One in every six person. Then you probably get a cut of the concessions, maybe, I think. They've got to be making a ton, but it costs a ton to put it on, too. And here's the thing.
Okay, so if it costs, let's just assume it costs, I don't know, $1 million to put on a show.
In one place.
In one place.
Here's the other part of it. The stage had production elements where they, like, flew around and stuff, where there's no way that they're building 40 of these stages. That's traveling.
Right. You tear it down in Pittsburgh. You don't necessarily go right to the next show. You go to the next show.
Correct. Like, that's what my dad did for a living.
Yeah.
And so I know about that kind of stuff. The localized crew, there's some of them that set it up, but that stage is indigenous to that show. There's not 30 of those.
Right.
You know, but just because of the elements to, you know, the flying stuff, the pyrotechnics and stuff, that stuff. So there's transportation costs.
Sure.
And ground transportation costs a lot. But still, you're still way in the clear, right?
Yeah, I would. If they gross $2 million on concert tickets, merchandise sales, just gross everything together in one night in one city, $2 million. But it costs them $1 million to put the show on.
I know.
So they're still walking out the door with $1 million a night,
and there's three of them.
Yeah.
So 300.
Now go on a 30 city North American tour.
My gosh. Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, it is. You got to the mar. So then I'm thinking like, okay, this McGraw guy, he's rich because Dr. Phil's his dad, but the disparity between like the opening act and when you made it big, albeit. The line is like there have been opening acts.
Sure.
That you're really not that far away, but how far you are away is incredible.
It's
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're not that far, but what are they paying that guy? $15,000 a night. You know, like.
Which is the drop in the bucket for them.
It's
got like me. One of us buying somebody lunch at McDonald's.
So you can't, and it also, here's where I arrived, and then we'll end this conversation because it's boring to people. But where I arrived is this. You can't be half a rock star. You're either all the way there or you're not. There's no degrees of rock star.
Right.
And there's not many in this world.
Yeah, like that Bebe Rexha girl could walk down the street. There's probably not a lot of people recognizing her.
And she's making a good living.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
But like, there's
Nick Jonas
walks
down
brothers.
The street and traffic stops.
Right. And you know, it is true. Let's get on to this about the concert. This happens at sporting events. It's something that's relatable to a lot of people. And I'm not complaining. It's an observation. You do what you want. I never tell people how to act unless they're bothering me, causing physical harm, yelling and screaming at me, whatever, impeding on my personal stuff at a venue. So I'm not telling people what to do. It is an observation, though. The filming of sporting events, the filming of concerts with your cell phone, I'm just maybe old school. Mental imagery is so much more important to me.
I don't even bother doing that kind of nonsense.
I take a picture, you know, a still picture for a memory. But people, I just wonder if people ever do go back if they're filming every song.
No. No, they never go back and look at all that. They never do. Here's the question. If you do go back and look at it, what are you looking at? Are you recalling your memory of that performance? Or are you recalling your memory of standing there with your phone in front of your face, in front of that performance? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you can't capture a performance like that in your cell phone camera. You just can't. Like you said, maybe you get a snapshot here and there, but you can't get like 3 minutes of Sucker by the Jonas Brothers in your phone and have it be just like it was when you were standing at PPG watching the show.
Like I say, the one of the most emblematic part, one of the biggest examples of this, I guess I should say, is, and we've said this before and talked about this before, one of those exciting game-winning goal jubilation shots that Pete Diana is so good at. Matt yep. Fried is so good at, from both of those gentlemen from the Post-Gazette for a long time. They are two of our great sports photographers in this city. And they'll take that shot from ice level across the goal line, kind of, and right behind the net, you have 20 people jumping up and down, and if it's just after and there's the hugging and the mobbing, right. a bunch of people with their cell phone camera taking that photo, and I'm thinking, if they want to recall that moment, don't they just go to Google and look at the goal that was scored as opposed to go to their phone?
Right. Like, I don't jump up and down and enjoy the moment in that moment.
Right. BB Rexha is popular, by the way, and I right. get people are texting.
But if she walked down the street,
right,
and like walked up and slapped me in the face, I'd be like, who's this girl?
Yeah, I don't know how many people would know her. She's right. rich, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many people would know her because the Jonas Brothers have crossed like pop culture. You know, they're very recognizable. But anyway, back to that thing. There were girls that were like in front of us that were probably 11 years old or so.
Uh-huh.
They were like zoomed all the way in on the stage and whatever, filming this. And I'm thinking, and again, it's their business. Like, I'm not complaining.
If that's
I'm just
what they want to
saying
do,
what
just...
my preference is this mental imagery is so much more important to me. And it makes so much.
I do think it's generational, though, too. Mm-hmm. Like, my daughter's only 10, so this is a different generation. She will watch stuff like that on, like, she'll record something like that, and then she will go back and watch it later.
Wow.
Which is weird to me. Like, I don't connect with the same way. But I think, I don't know. Maybe it was, it's just a kid thing.
It was a good show, though. It was good. Fun. It was, in parking, it was so much easier than I anticipated. I parked right there by the Steelhead or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right under the Marriott.
Uh-huh. I have parked the last three times that I've not had a parking pass from someone.
Mm-hmm.
I have parked in the same spot or the spot next, one of two spots where
right.
you parallel into that lot right after you pull in.
Yeah, right next to the ramp.
Right next to the ramp. As soon as you pull in, there's like three parallel spots. And I'm, is it because people can't parallel park?
I think people worry about being parked there for some reason. Like, I've parked there before. My wife's been like, oh, are you sure you want to? What if somebody comes around the corner, or what if somebody backs out of there? I'm like, it's fine. There's cars parking here every day. We're good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was great. Easy walk in, easy walk out. Oh, great. Here's a good one. Of course. Walking out last night, guy, he's one of the security guys, right, for the venue. He's explaining to me what he does and everything because my daughter, she needs to buy something. Okay, so we're hitting the merchandise booths
sure.
like when there's in between the like when there's the encore thing. So the guy grabs me and he goes, "Man, you got to be up in like an hour, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man,
more or less.
I do. It's late." I said, "I rarely do this, but it is." He goes, "Yeah, you know." And he works like two jobs. He's like, "Yeah, I'm like kind of semi-retired. I got to get up too tomorrow morning at like 4 o'clock, but it's worth it. I got the greatest job." I was like, well, yeah, well, thanks for listening. It's really important. I like when, you know, talk to people about the show. He's like, you know, 9.5 times out of 10, of course, this always happens. He goes, yeah, I love Jim. Yeah, I just really love Jim. I mean, 9.5 times out of 10, I get that when somebody
that sums
talks.
It up pretty much, yeah.
All the time. You still get that producer, Matt, a lot? Oh, Jim.
Oh, of course.
Is he really like that?
Yeah. What's it like to work with Jim?
Then
he's
this.
Crazy, isn't he?
And then this. Oh, I'd love to just play golf with Jim. You know, I mean, all the... There's a sweet spot between about 49 and 70 age.
Yes.
Where people are like, yeah, I'd love to just play golf with Jim.
It's how he ends up getting invited to like 15 outings every summer.
I know. Guy just gives it to me. Play golf with him.
Yeah.
I've only been invited. What did he say that day?
Six. Seven.
I only made it out to six of them this summer.
Seven outings
this
year.
That's not that much.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, too, like, he was on vacation a week where he shut it down.
Yeah.
He got rained out of one. Another couple he couldn't play.
He would have hit double digits this summer.
For sure.
If not for weather.
And he also said no to some other ones that were, like, mm-hmm. too far away.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. And the guy, what a life.
I'm like, I'm better than you. Okay, I know it.
That's still one of my favorite drops ever. Matt, you're doing well with your show. Did you get the ratings yet?
Thanks. No, I did.
Did you factor in a ratings bonus?
We'll keep that private.
See, what have you had hard negotiation with these people?
Not hard, no.
Okay. You need to let them know. Ratings bonus, number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
I mean, you're serving as a lead-in to, like, the standard bearer show on the station, you know? Mm-hmm. The morning show.
Football Night in America. I mean, you're Costas. We might be like, you know, Brady and Gronk, but you're Costas.
Okay.
So I would play it hard with them. Like, without me, the table isn't set. You guys can have your meal. There's no silverware.
That's right. Always your advice, to play it hard.
Yeah, look where it got you.
Well.
You're talking on the radio, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just tell them.
Yeah.
No producer Matt. Maybe it's more Grammy Helen.
Right. You think Harkins could do this job? Tell him that. Walk in there and play it hard. What's that guy's name from Waynesburg that blocked me on Twitter?
Greg Finley.
Yeah. You think this Finley could do this?
Yeah, I think he could.
Okay. Anyway, Fan Morning Show, pre-show, Ray Fittipaldo, he joins us at 8. Jason Mackey joins us at 9. Mike Tomlin joins us all day because he had a lot of interesting. You only get this in the first press conference,
yes,
though. You only get this time because you're trying to set up the whole year. And we have a lot of feedback from what Mike Tomlin said. We get into that coming up next here, Fan Morning Show.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.